Right now, Jonathan Davis, our usual Wednesday guest, with a lap around the Pacific Division. Jonathan, I apologize. I'm sorry. We're off to a horrible start.
Hey, you know, it's happy hour somewhere, and you've started already.
It sounds like it. Unfortunately, not true. Let's start in L.A., where you're based. Yesterday, the L.A. Kings did something that many people thought might have happened as soon as June, which was getting Ben Hutton to sign a contract. Now, Vancouver was the team that didn't sign him to give him his qualifying offer. The ask seemed probably significant, giving the qualifying offer was significant that he wasn't tendered. Yesterday, he inks a one-year deal with the Kings at significantly lower money than his, what, $4 million qualifying offer. What does Ben Hutton do for the Kings, and why did it take this long for Ben Hutton?
Well, I think it gives the L.A. Kings an NHL-ready defenseman. I mean, something that, you know, that they just don't have a lot of once you get past Drew Doughty and Alec Martinez. You know, Derek Forbort's a guy that's been here for a couple of years, but one, he's banged up, so the anticipation is that he will be put on IR very soon. And so after that, it gets kind of thin. And I'll be honest with you, Ryan, I mean, even with a healthy Derek Forbort, they'd be better off with Ben Hutton and a lot of other players. Even a guy like Joakim Ryan, who was cast off by the San Jose Sharks, I think is an upgrade. So they're, you know, I think the big concern is they don't want their goalies to get a lot of whiplash this year. And having another guy that can step right in, as Todd McClellan said yesterday after the game, you know, this is he just gives them a little more stability back there.
Yeah, it's not going to be a year where they hang a banner in L.A. unless they go the Nashville route and give themselves a banner for something like finishing last in the West. Is D the one area of concern, or is this an entire roster that has got issues? I see them as old, not deep, and not good. That's a horrible trio of trades.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, I mean, look, they're looking for a bona fide goal scorer. They just, you know, they don't have one. Last night, you know, and look, it's the first preseason game, but, you know, Jeff Carter, who Kings fans are praying is either jettisoned or if he is here to stay, you know, can rebound from a disastrous year last year. And, you know, his line with Kyle Clifford and Trevor Lewis, you know, we're -8. That's not very good unless you're playing golf. So
yeah, golf, that's really good. That's like, you know, Masters contention.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, they, you know, they need scoring. And so, yeah, it's going to be, you know, look, they finished with 71 points last year. I still think that they will be a team that hovers around that 500 mark. But, you know, they're not – if they make the playoffs, then a lot has gone wrong for a lot of other teams in the Pacific Division.
I was actually chatting with this with some buddies that were just saying, oh, like, where do all these teams fit in the West? Because especially in the Pacific, where it feels like there's three good teams, solid teams, playoff-bound teams, a mid-tier of, like, well, if things go right, maybe we can get a wild card or even get into that 2-3 matchup. And then there's some clubs that just aren't going to have a chance. I have L.A. in that group. And the Central, I feel like even the worst team in the Central, if things go right, they could get in. But, I mean, who could be as bad as the Kings in the West?
Who could be as bad? I mean, me? Well, I don't know. Look, Minnesota's a team that never frightens me, but I don't know if they could be as bad as the Kings. It's a really good question. I mean, I would put Arizona ahead of Los Angeles. I mean, Vancouver's got more skill than Los Angeles. So, that's a good question. You know, they could easily be destined for number 30 again.
Yeah, yeah.
And for their long-term success, that's not a bad thing.
I agree. And it sounds like I'm crushing them, but this is exactly what they have to do. Be really bad. Don't go finish ninth in the West. Like, that's a complete waste of your time. You need young skill and guys that can score. They need more players like Alex Turcotte, who they selected at fifth overall. So, by all means, understand where you are in your life cycle. try to shed some vets and get younger, get skilled, pick high, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Gabe Vilardi is another guy who they've been waiting on for a couple of years. The hope is that, you know, the guy, the former first-round draft pick who is dealing with back issues, will be healthy enough to play for their AHL team, the Ontario Reign, this year. And if he can be anything that they had hoped for, you know, with Vilardi and Turcotte, ultimately they could find themselves with two decent centers.
Okay, let's stay in the same neighborhood but a different team. Oh, you've got a little scouting report on the latest action we've seen from the Anaheim Ducks. We're kind of at the station, have a couple camps on the Ducks. One camp says, rebuild, you're not good enough. The camp I reside in says, you've got John Gibson, you've got a chance, and you've got a real nice young wave of prospects, but is it enough this year for them to be competitive, and what have you seen from those young prospects?
Well, competitive, yes, but not, you know, I think the Ducks, you know, our organization is very realistic about, you know, where some of these kids are at, and I had a chance to sit down with Todd Marchand for my podcast today. And I mean, he just said, look, you know, we're not rushing these guys along. And so I think when you look at the names of, you know, Sam Steele and Max Jones and Troy Terry and Maxime Comtois and Kiefer Sherwood, you know, I think you may see, you know, I think Sam Steele will, you know, he will be on this roster. He could start out as the second line or third line center on this team. I mean, they've had him playing with Rickard Rakell and Jakob Silfverberg. It was a trio that finished last season off, and you know, I could see them starting this season together. So, you know, the future is bright, and I think they're further along than in the development of some of these guys than maybe the LA Kings are. But I think that this organization is realistic that, you know, the playoffs are not something that they need to have this year for it to be a successful season.
Is that Falk deal dead, or is it still just hanging, waiting, hoping that they either agree on extension or Mr. Falk doesn't exercise his no trade or changes his mind on exercising his no trade?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I think, you know, because Bob Murray comes from the same school that Lou Lamoriello went to, and so mm-hmm. trying to get information out of Bob is really tough. But, you know, look, everything you hear from the Carolina end of things is that, you know, Justin Falk wants an extension, and Anaheim was one of the teams that was on his no-trade list. So, you know, Anaheim's going to have to be creative, I guess, if they want to get him. Look, there's no question. We talked about it last week. They're better off with him, and they can afford to move, you know, one of their young forwards to get him if they're able to get him to an extension. I mean, this Ducks team, as I said before, they need help on the back end. There's more question marks back there than there are answers, you know, once you get beyond Lindholm, Fowler, and Manson.
To the Sharks we go. Lots of new faces, it seems. Now, they brought back some of the vets, but they don't have a Joe Pavelski. Who's going to slide into that top six role, and how are they going to fill out the bottom end of this roster with all those expensive deals that they inked this summer?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, when you look at some of the guys from last year, you know, whether it's Pavelski or Donskoy or Nyquist, I mean, three guys that filled, you know, significant role for them in the playoffs, you know, those guys are gone. So, you know, Doug Wilson has made no bones about the fact that, you know, they've got guys that they've been developing with their AHL team and guys that have had some time up with the NHL team that will get expanded roles. And, you know, Kevin LeBanc, who was the hero in that Game 7 against Vegas, you know, he could see himself on that top line. And then, you know, with Couture and Meyer, and then you've got a guy like Dylan Gambrell, who also, you know, got his taste last year, and he may find himself playing alongside Kane and Hurdle. So they're expecting some big things out of these guys. And then, you know, another one that we keep hearing the name of is a guy that grew up out here in Southern California in Huntington Beach and played his hockey in the for, you know, in the OHL, and that's Sasha Chmielewski. You know, typical California name, but this is a guy that will likely fill a role as their fourth-line center. but a kid that they're very excited about. And so, yeah, expect a lot of new faces in that Sharks lineup up front. And, you know, as Doug Wilson has made it clear, you know, Patrick Marleau will not be one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Give us more background there. Is there a thought that he can't help a NHL team, or it's not the type of player they want in their bottom six? Why is Marleau to the Sharks for league minimum not happening?
Because I think that when you look at where, you know, where Marleau is at in his career, and you saw the tail off that he had in Toronto in the second half of the year, you know, I think that, you know, the Sharks realize, you know, hey, look, that window, I don't want to say it's closing, but, you know, they want to win now. I mean, you know, look, they made that big commitment to Erik Karlsson and said goodbye to Joe Pavelski with the idea that, you know, we want to win now, and we want to try to win more than one. And I think that they feel they're better off with some of these young kids than they are with Patrick Marleau. And while the idea is really nice, and it would be great to see Marleau skate out there, and it would be a big treat for the fans, I think realistically, the skill set is just not, you know, it's just not worth it.
The Sharks are going to be in Calgary tonight.
You know,
Sorry, go ahead, Jonathan.
No, I was just, you know, it's too bad for a guy that, you know, it would have been a nice storybook ending to the career.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, look, Bill, no one does it better than Bill Belichick. You got to know when to cut bait.
Fair enough. Kane, Hurdle, Goodrow, Radil, Dylan, Prout, Heed, Dell. Those are about the only recognizable names, and I'm stretching on a few here in Calgary. What can you tell us about any of those men that have boarded the flight to play the Flames tonight?
Well, I mean, for Aaron Dell, this is he needs to have a good camp, because, you know, while he is the leading candidate to be the backup goalie once again for Martin Jones, there's no question that, you know, it wasn't a great season for him last year in San Jose. And when Martin Jones struggled during the playoffs, you know, there was never a thought to go to Aaron Dell. And that was not, you know, that was just as much an indictment on his performance. And he wasn't the guy. So he's being pushed by Antoine Bebo, who I believe played in the Leafs organization. So it's a big camp for him. Tim Heed is a guy that, you know, will likely be the sixth or seventh defenseman in San Jose, has had time with the big club. But with some of the changes that they've made on the back end, you know, he will see more ice time this year. Lucas Radil, another guy who showed some promise in last year in San Jose, he's fighting for a spot in that bottom six. So, you know, for them, these games are more significant than they are for, you know, Joe Thornton last night.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. And of note, for those coming to the game tonight, listening in their cars, Aaron Dell slated to back up Antoine Bebo tonight, but I am with you on where his career's at. I mean, he's certainly got a contract to be in the NHL, but he's going to have to play a whole lot better if he wants to hang around beyond this year's tag at $1.9 million. Okay, I want to get some reaction from you on the Brock Besser contract. The numbers, well publicized and not very large in terms of AAV, because of course it is a bridge, 3 years at a shade under $5.9 million. What did you make of A, the contract, and B, how the Canucks and Besser's representation got to that?
Well, I mean, look, the Canucks didn't have a lot of wiggle room to work with, but I think if you look at the third year of the deal, I think isn't it $7 million in that final year? So it puts him at a
seven and a half
qualifying number. Yeah, and so, you know, that seems to be the trend these days with these guys. You know, look, it's a great price for Vancouver early on when you look at the actual salary, considering what some of the other players have gotten. But you know, I think that, you know, look, this is something that, you know, if you're Brock Besser, it's still $5 million. And, you know, in talking to some agents today, you know, I think that's something that while you'd like to strike it richer, you're still getting yourself a really good deal. And you'll be able, you know, if you outperform the deal like they're hoping for, then he'll get more than his liking on the back end. No question about it. So, hey, look, it gets him into camp. It gets him on the ice. And I think for a lot of players, you know, that's the most important thing. I don't think Brock Besser wanted to miss games.
Yeah, I agree. And look, it might cost the Canucks a whole lot more over the course of, say, the next 11 years or whatever it is. That next contract could be, because he's spoken about being there long term, and he clearly fits a massive need of theirs, a top six player that can score. And he'll come back in to renegotiate with potentially a much larger cap if that U.S. TV deal is as legitimate as people talk about it over this offseason. The one thing I'll say, though, is if they had more cap room, if they were not paying so many bottom six, third pair, spare body types, it feels like a missed opportunity for the Canucks to lock in Besser at an incredibly friendly number, because he hasn't had a fully healthy season. He hasn't scored, you know, 45, 50 yet. These are things that I think will happen. And if they happen in the next 3 years with some regularity, he's going to get a huge raise on a shade under six.
I totally agree with you. And, yeah, they are – look, Jim Benning is paying for you know, whether it's Louis Erickson or Jay Beagle, Antoine Roussel, and, you know, say what you want about the Tyler Myers deal. I still think, you know, he's getting more than he should. But, you know, they may end up paying for it down the road, as you suggested.
Okay. Arizona Coyotes, were curious about this club. It feels like they've been creeping in on could they be a wild card team for the last few years. The only problem is they've had incredibly bad luck with health. Last year, so many man games lost to injury, yet you couldn't help but feel for them. But they also found that they might have two starters. If Antti Raanta's healthy, Darcy Kuemper certainly looked the part. What are they doing? What's that top line looking like? Because I still wonder about their ability to score. I think they'll be fine in net.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, if Raanta can stay healthy, if, and that's been a big if, then they're in really good shape. But yeah, they're trying to figure out, you know, who's Phil Kessel center. Is it Nick Schmaltz or is it Derek Stepan, who was practicing with Phil and Clayton Keller today? That's the big question. I mean, you know, again, I think last week we touched upon the fact that Stepan's been somewhat of a disappointment in Arizona. But, you know, look, they've got themselves a game breaker, and if they can find a way to take advantage of everything that Phil has, then they're a team that, you know, can try to challenge for a playoff spot. They should, you know, they should be better, especially if both goalies stay healthy, then I think that it really helps Darcy Kuemper. And it, you know, if they can have a, you know, 1-2 punch like Dallas and Carolina and the Islanders had last year, I think ultimately that'll really help this team out.
We'll chat again in a week. Thank you, sir. Hope you're enjoying the preseason slate. I'll be taking in Sharks Flames tonight for you.
I will be watching. Wait, now is that – it's not on any of the Sportsnet broadcasts?
I am so unaware of the TV because I'm going to be in attendance. But I'm Flames.com.
Okay, because I now
streaming.
Have access.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Chat next week.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.